الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بروا آباءكم تبركم أبناءكم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama-i kiram, beloved brothers and elders, we had been discussing rights of parents. Our sole intention is to see whether we are fulfilling the rights. And if we are, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast, we should try and fulfill the rights more. And if we are not fulfilling the rights, then this bayan or this discourse is for us to enlighten us, to make us realize the importance of this aspect of our lives and the importance of the rights. We'll mention great details regarding the ayat of the Holy Quran in Surah Bani Israel. We'll also mention the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how you should fulfill the rights of your elderly parents. We'll also mention the rights after they have passed away, how do we fulfill their rights. And we'll also terminate it on this note that we have a culture, we have a complete and a perfect deen that teaches us the rights of our parents in all stages of their life, not like some cultures that follow the animal kingdom. When the child reaches the age of being self-sufficient, then he discards his parents, is not concerned about his parents, he does not know who are his parents. And we had come to this question here, fulfillment of their needs, their permissible needs. A contemptuous issue, or issue that's worthy of discussing here, and issue that you should get clarification about, is when one of them loses their spouses, whether it is the father or the mother, whether the mother passes away or the father passes away, and if they wish to resettle, that we should not become an obstruction in their path. We should not become an obstruction in their path if they want to remarry. And when we are the children, my father wants to remarry or my mother wants to remarry, then I should not become an obstruction. And I should not object to this, because this is one of the basic needs that they require in life. And marriage, especially at that age, normally is to take away the loneliness of a person who's 80 years old or 70 years old, companionship, take away the loneliness where she can serve him, assist him in his household chores, etc. And we become impediments. If you look into history in the life of Rasulullah's first wife, Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha, when she had passed away, Rasulullah, all his children were from, except for one, were from Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. And despite having children, Rasulullah also had married and had resettled. So this is not something that's against our deen or something that's against reality. In fact, this is the reality. And there should be all the encouragement, I would say, that we should get our fathers or mothers remarried so that they can not suffer any loneliness and they can spend their life in a manner where they are comfortable and where their needs are fulfilled. And we should put ourselves, very simple, we should put ourselves in their shoes and imagine that I am 80 years old, for example, and I lose my wife. And now I need a companion, and my sons become an object. They become an object, they become the object here, and they do not approve of my remarried at that age. As I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had remarried. We find the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had also remarried. And I'll show you how serious it is when a person becomes an obstruction. We won't go very far away. I'll go back just maybe 20, 30 years in our very area without taking names. There was an elderly person who lost his wife, and he was 80 plus. The sentence of his lingers in my mind every time I think of marriage in old age. He had got married and his sons had objected to such a degree that he had to divorce his wife. He had to send his wife from where she had come. And he was so bitter about this that one day, when you were in the course of our discussion, I had mentioned to him, Allah Ta'ala give you barakat in your life. His words ring in my ears. He said, Baba, ab mujhe barakat ki zarurat nahi hai. So bitter was his feelings towards his children that he is not prepared to live in this world thereafter, after his children rejected that he must get married, that I don't want barakat anymore. In other words, I want to leave this world. He could not even bear to live in this world after his children had objected. Why? Let us reflect, that parent that had done everything possible to make you and me comfortable, and here we become a hindrance in fulfilling his needs. We become a hindrance in fulfilling his needs, and this has become common. In my last visit overseas, I went to meet one person who I met maybe 2 or 3 years ago. What a pious person, a person who lives not far from the masjid. After every azan, he carries his stool in one hand and carries his walking stick in the other hand, and he's there right coming, making wuzu at home and sitting in the first step of the masjid. 2 years ago when I met him, he told me, I've lost my wife 2 years ago, and my daughter comes every Sunday and she assists me. What more can a daughter do? She has a family, she has the children, she has her duties and her obligations. She comes on a Sunday and helps for a few hours and goes home. This year I made an intention just to go and meet the man, and when I got there, Allah Ta'ala was doing, the first man I spotted in that area was Chaudhary Saab. Same, with his wheelchair in one, with his walking stick in one hand and the chair on the other hand, walking to the masjid at the time of Zuhr. When I met him, I was so happy, and he told me, I got married today. A man, an elderly man. After the namaz, I went to his house because I intended to visit him particularly. When I got to his house, I told him, Chaudhary Saab, you got married. When you got married? He said, I got married 2:30 in this morning. 2:30 this morning got married, and we should remember it is winter there in America, it is winter there overseas, and Fajr namaz is about 6:00. I got married 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 in the morning, who gets married? This happened, he says, that my wife was coming from Pakistan and the flight was delayed. And I could not tolerate after we got here that my wife must stay in my house, this lady must stay in my house without marriage. Such a pious man. What is his age? 83 or 84. I could not tolerate that my wife must stay in this house here, this woman must stay in this house without marriage. I said, who performed the nikah? I said, Qureshi Sahib, the Imam. I summoned him at that part of the morning, he came and performed my nikah. This is as far as his piety is concerned, as far as his concern is concerned, an elderly man doesn't want to stay in the house even 3 or 4 hours at that age without nikah. And let us look at the other side of the coin. He says, I'm 83 years old and so difficult for me to manage. And then he tells us the sad sentence, but my children are objecting to this nikah. I told him, Chaudhary Sahib, if I had the time, I would go and meet your children and explain to them. Explain to them that it mustn't become an obstruction. In the aged father fulfilling his basic needs. This has become common practice here in our country. Last week, one person informs me and tells me that some of my children object to me getting married. And what is the objection based on? Who will look after that lady when you pass away? So selfish that we are not concerned about who will look after you when you are living. We are concerned about who will look after that lady after you are gone. Who knows who will go first? I may go first before the lady. Your father may go before the lady. The lady may go before all of us. Hands left in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is our closest relatives? Who is the people that we get the greatest reward? What is the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us? وَسِلَةُ الرَّحِمُ الَّذِي لَا تُوسَلُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. And to maintain the relationship with those family members, that there is no relationship except with them. Whether it is your father's brother, whether it is your father's sister, whether it is your father's stepwife, whether it is your father's wife, obviously that will be your mother. Whether it is your father's stepwife, she becomes your father's stepwife, and you have to maintain good relationship with her because of your father. This is the duty of a person towards his father that passed away. And she's a widow. She's the widow. The most valuable widow on the face of the earth is the wife of the father. The most valuable widow, because she is the most closest to you. No other widow can be so close to you like the widow of your father, otherwise the wife of your father. And in a hadith is mentioned, words to this effect, that person that looks after the needs of the poor and looks after the needs of the widow is like a person that's striving in the path of Allah. And one riwayat is mentioned, is like that person, listen carefully, like that person who stands the entire night in prayer without slacking, without sleeping and sitting down, and like a person that fasts throughout the day without breaking his fast. In other words, every day he is fasting and every night he's standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look after the needs of any ordinary widow, and this is the most valuable widow on the face of the earth, but we become so selfish that, oh father, I will not allow you to marry, because who will look after that woman? Who will look after that woman? This has become a problem. And sometimes, what is the problem? The problem is inheritance. A woman will come into the marriage and she will also take part of the inheritance. What is inheritance? Inheritance is the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the wealth of the deceased in his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to grant to a wife, and Allah ta'ala has put that in the Holy Quran, the rights of the wife. Who is there on the face of the earth that can deprive that woman? Who is there that dare deprive that woman of the right that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her? Inna Allah aata kulla dhi haqq min haqqahu. And Allah ta'ala knows very, very well who is deserving of what right. When Allah ta'ala has fixed the right for that widow, the father, the wife of your husband, the wife of your father, then who are you to take away that right? Who are you to take away that right? So we should not become an impediment and an obstruction for those people who are to get remarried. And as we mentioned, we should be obedient to our parents in everything that's permissible. and we should see that they fulfill their needs. We should encourage them to fulfill their needs if they want to get remarried. Obviously, they are not trying to substitute your mother and my mother. That can never happen to the day of judgment. All the women of the world cannot be equal to our blood mothers and our biological mothers. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the link. But obviously, there's a need. They need to live in comfort. They need to live in a manner that you can fulfill their needs. Remember, a daughter-in-law, and whoever is their sister can do to a certain extent for the man. But what a wife can do for a man, even a mother in that stage cannot do. Even a mother in that stage, she may have more feelings, but the type of khidmat that a woman can do for her husband in that age, even a mother is not allowed by Sharia to do that type of khidmat, sometimes exposing those parts of the body that's not permissible for him to expose before anyone. So here we find that when there's a need, and that need cannot be fulfilled by all the family members put together, that man had lost his wife, he is the person that will close his door in the evening to a dark, cold, desolate room. Nobody will accompany him there, not his children, not his sister, and nobody else. So whatever khidmat you do for him, he still needs a wife and requires a wife. And if he expresses that, then we should allow him to get married. We should not be so mean. We should not be so unreasonable. We should not be so selfish and stop him from getting married. This is something we should clear our minds. Yes, we may not have the same feelings toward that woman because she is my stepmother, but we should not resent that woman. We should not resent this notion that my father wants to get married, but we should encourage him, help him, and assist him. Who knows what fate lies, what fate has before us. We may be in the same predicament after a few years in our lives. We may lose our partners in that part of our lives. How will we fend for ourselves? So this is one aspect. Another aspect that is worthy of discussion is this old age homes, where we find people take their parents and put them away there. Let us just go back and look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the verses of the Holy Quran here in Surah Bani Israel. As I mentioned, very uniquely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the spectacle of the parents in their old age. And Allah ta'ala tells us, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not even say one word of contempt to them. Do not even try and hurt their feelings. That person that takes his parents, one of them or both of them, and puts them in the old age home, this is worse than a million times oof telling his parents. It is not hurting their heart, it is shattering their hearts, breaking their hearts to bits, who takes his parents and put them in an old age home. This is what he is doing, and thus this is what the Quran Sharif tells us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَاهُ أَوْ أَحْدِهُمَا الْكِبْرِ إِنَّهُ فَلَمْ يُدْخِلَاهُ الْجَنَّةِ. That woe to that person who one of his parents or both of them attain old age, and he does not become a means of entering into paradise. The baddua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel salam saying Ameen. And we take that those parents and put them in the old age and expect them to enter us into paradise. Is this the way for expect us? Is this the way to adopt to gain paradise through our old parents? Let us ask ourselves. Mention the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Baraka al barakatu ma'a kabirikum. Baraka is with your elderly people. These are our elderly people. We take this baraka out of our homes and put them in the old age home. If this is how we're going to get the baraka and blessing from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Innama tunsaruna wa turzaquna bidu'afaikum. Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have been given, your assistance will come and your rosy will come, the barakat of your weak people. They are gone weak and frail now, and we take them away and put them in the old age home, and we expect barakat in our homes. We expect rosy, barakat in our rosy. We expect the nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find that this person that takes away his father and puts him in an old age home, then it's disaster upon disaster. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us here clearly that if you want your assistance will come to you with the barakat of your weak people. And among the weak people are your aged parents. The nusrat, the rosy will come to you, barakat in your rosy will come to you with the barakat of your weak people, and the weak people of your aged parents that are sitting in their homes. It is their barakat that you get rosy. It is their barakat that the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to us. And in some riwayat, some ulama kiram have mentioned those words, qati'u rahim, the person that breaks off and severs relationship. And this is how people break off relationship. The highest relationship is of the parents. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of the parents. And that person who disregards his parents, puts them in the old age home, then he is the greatest breaker of this relationship. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "In la yadkhulu jannata qati'un." The person that breaks off relation, he does not enter into Jannah. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Inna abwab al jannah mughlaqatun duna qati'ir rahim." The doors of paradise are closed upon that person who breaks off his relationship. One riwayat we are told that the actions are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يُقْبَلُ عَمَلَ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ Allah ta'ala does not accept the actions, the good actions of that person who breaks off his relationship. And the greatest breaking of relationship is with our parents. إِنَّ الرَّحْمَةَ لَا تَنْزِلُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ فِيهِمْ قَاطِعُ رَحِمٍ Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ That the mercy of Allah, imagine this hadith, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend on that nation wherein there is a person that breaks off relationship. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that those two actions that hasten the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from the punishment of the hereafter, mentioning this hadith explicitly, that in this dunya a person is punished also, and the hereafter also, that person that does is oppressive, and that person, qati'atul rahim, the person that breaks off friendly relationship, that we find that he, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes to him in this very world. So before we go into an old age home, or even think about putting the parent in the old age home, and go and listen to the cries and the bitterness of the people in the old age home. This morning I phoned one social worker who's closely related to me. She's a mahram to me. And she tells me, Mona, they say, don't let my janaza come out from my home. Let it come out from the old age home. Can you imagine the bitterness? How bitter this person is, how hurt this person is, how broken this person is. Don't let my janaza come out from the home of my children. Let it come out from the old age home. Some of them say, we have been duped here, we have been brought here on some pretext to put in for 1 or 2 weeks, and thereafter they never come back to see us. This is how we have been dumped here in the old age homes. On one side, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that woe to that person who does not enter into paradise, and by not making his khidmat in old age. On the other side, we are physically taking our parents and putting them there. Here it was the occasion for us to get Jannatul Firdaus, not only Jannah. Because the du'as of the parents are such, like we had mentioned earlier, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that he wishes to see his companion in paradise. And he was told, well, look at that butcher who used to make excessive khidmat of his mother. And he, because of that, became worthy of entering to paradise. Paradise, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Here, the old age home is known as Baytul Firdaus. The old age home in our town is known as Baytul Firdaus. And our children are taken away and put there. All the bitterness and all the emptiness and all the loneliness. What does a person need in that old age? That old man does not want to accompany you on your flying journeys or holidays, etc. He wants a comfortable home. He needs a little meal. He wants to sit in the company of his children. Our Shaykh Rahimahullah is to mention that no matter how many people make ruju to me, turn to me, but when Mawla Mazhar comes and sits next to me, I feel so relaxed and I feel so contented and I feel that sukoon and chain. This is what the father wants, that the child must be around him. His children must be around him. His grandchildren must be around him. This is what he needs. This is what he requires. But we deprive him for that and put him in those homes. Upon inquiry this morning, I was told there are some homes here, Tasta, etc., where they cater for the frail people. There's no Muslim's home, they cater for frail people. And their haram food is given to these parents. These people that sacrifice their sweat and their blood to give us halal. Today the day comes when those very children here they're not concerned, they have no scruples. The children are fed in those homes with haram food, and they care nothing. They care nothing about that. We also mentioned that person whose mother has yearning, pining to meet him, and asked that, Maulana, please tell my son to visit me. He hasn't visited me for 10 years. And the next day, she leaves this dunya. The next day, she leaves this dunya. There was a case here in our area where one person's aunt was put in such homes. And when he tried to intervene and say, bring that aunt to my home, that person was so mean, so hard-hearted, he was not prepared to do for his aunt, nor was he prepared that his nephew, etc., must look after the aunt. He left the day to suffer there and did not grant consent for those people to be left. She tells me this morning, some places we cannot even trace the people. We cannot even trace those people whose children these are. Recently, one person we thought was from the Maritzburg area. Thereafter, it was established, he stays in Musgrave. He stays in Musgrave, and a person who stays in Musgrave, in my and your imagination, cannot be a pauper, cannot be a poor person, cannot be a person that cannot afford to look after his parents, can he? So, identity also is not given, so that maybe you can retrieve this thing and go backwards and rectify what is happening. So this is the condition of our people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. I had personally seen one person who had kept his father, not in an old age home, but he had him virtually imprisoned. And the whole town was saying, this person does not carry out the rights of his father. He does not even feed the father. And when we had gone there, and he gave the impression everything is fine, we were told afterwards, this old man has a lot of wealth, and this person is waiting for him to pass away so that he can take charge of that wealth. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ فَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware of what is in your hearts. Why are you treating your father in this manner? Why are you keeping him in that manner? Allah ta'ala knows very well. If you are sincere and because of some oversight, because of some human weaknesses, you said some things out of the way, etc., and you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So here we should remember that our greatest assets are our parents. And through them, jannatuka wa naruk, your paradise and your paradise and your jahannam. And Rasulullah has told us in so many ahadiths about the rights of our parents. We should just reflect on what Allah Ta'ala tells us, Rabbi rahamahuma kama rabbayani saghira, that oh Allah, have mercy on them, or like how they had brought me up. Let us sit and reflect sometime of the day or sometime of the week, at least 5-10 minutes. What was I? Who was I? And what was the needs that they had fulfilled, and now what length they had gone to fulfill our needs. I had intended here to complete the subject, but I still wish to tell you the incident that mentioned by Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh, and what is the summary of our rights towards our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.